Shares of City Gas Distribution companies have been underperforming for the last many months now. These stocks are fundamentally sound, but at this point, there are other factors at play as well. So why are the shares doing poorly and how should investors approach them? To tell us more, I'm joined by my colleague Nitin Sharma on this Money Control podcast. Nitin is a senior research analyst, part of the Money Control Pro team, and tracks the gas sector closely. Welcome, Nitin, and nice to be talking to you on this podcast.
Thanks, Santosh. Happy to be here.
Well, first up, Nitin, let me begin by asking you about the business models of gas distribution companies, say Mahanagar Gas, Indraprastha Gas, Gujarat Gas. How do they differ and how do these companies make their money?
Right. So CGD companies, as the name suggests, city gas distribution, they distribute gas to different entities. That includes the retail consumers as the household, as well as industrial consumers, and to the automotive sector, which is your CNG station. What they do is that basically they source gas from different sources, and then they transmit it using their own infrastructure and other infrastructure providers, which includes GAIL as well as your GSPL. And then to with the help of some other marketing entity, for example, BPCL, IOCL, so they sell this gas, and on this gas, they charge whatever tariff that is there, and that's pretty much the entire business model.
Now, you said that they source gas from various sources. So could you just elaborate on these various sources?
Right. So in India, gas consumption can broadly be defined into three broad categories. One is domestic gas, which is your household gas, the PNG. Secondly is the CNG, the compressed natural gas, which is the automotive gas, again mostly used by the retail consumer as well as the other entities. And then there is something called industrial gas, which is given to or used by the industries. And finally, the commercial entities, which could be your hotels, could be your restaurants, etc. So by regulation, the domestic PNG, which is your household gas plus CNG, is covered under the 110% allocation order of the Supreme Court of 2012, okay, where government have to provide whatever gas that they require fully using the domestic sources. Why mm-hmm. domestic sources? Because it's way cheaper compared to international gas. For mm-hmm. the industrial and commercial gas, the CGD company sources from different sources. For example, they would be sourcing from GAIL. GAIL has long-term contracts from Australia, from Qatar, from US. So they source it, and with the help of, regasification terminal, for example, Petron LNG runs two in India. So okay. They'll regasify the LNG and then flow it through either GAIL's own pipeline grid or probably GSPL's mm-hmm. and goes to CNG company. So that's how they source it.
Okay. So how are these domestic gas prices decided?
Right. So prior to 2014, government used to take call on it, depending upon the internal discussions, and structure was pretty much not as organized as it today, and mm-hmm. created a lot of confusions and issues back in the time. Mm-hmm. So 2014 onwards, there was a new mechanism that was put into place. So now what they does is, for the domestic gas, also called the administrative pricing mechanism gas, mm-hmm. They use four international indices, that is Henry Hub of US, okay, National Balancing Point, NBP for the Europe, mm-hmm. Alberta, Canada for Canadian gas, and the Russian wellhead prices. Mm-hmm. Wellhead prices, just to explain, is basically the gas price which doesn't include the transportation or the treatment cost. They take all of these four indices, okay, and then they take average of the last four quarters, win one, win one quarter lag to determine the prices for APM gas in India. Now, once they determine these prices, they are notified for a period of next 6 months. Sure. And then again revise every 6 months. So that is pretty much what would happen with APM gas. Okay. Simultaneously, there is something called non-APM gas. Mm-hmm. A gas that is coming from, Reliance or Vedanta. Mm-hmm. So these non-APM gas, their pricing is fixed as per the production sharing contract. And if the field that is coming from, it is, say, complex, like deep water field, it is there.
Okay.
So then there is a premium on it there.
Okay. So now why have city gas distribution companies been underperforming of late?
Right. So city gas companies have been underperforming primarily because for them, the raw material cost is the input gas cost.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things happened. For example, in the last 10 years, if you look at it, India's domestic gas production has been declining at 3% every year.
Okay.
And simultaneously, over the last 10 years, the consumption of the domestic gas has increased by another plus 3%.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this difference been met increasingly with imported LNG through contracted long-term contracts as well as the spot market gas.
Okay.
Now, what happens is that typically CGD companies get this gas, and then for the domestic volume, they get it from the domestic gas at the APM price.
Okay.
For your non-APM, this gets some volume from the at the non-APM price. But the difference they were meeting via spot gas and contracted gas. Contract gas contracts are typically tied to the crude. For example, if you buying your gas from, say, Qatar,
mm-hmm.
so it would be as a percentage of the ongoing Brent crude prices with a average out over a period of some period, say, 2 quarters.
Okay.
So, all was going good, well and good. Spot prices historically traded below your long-term contract gas.
Okay.
So what gas companies were doing was that they were playing with this mix to bring down their cost.
Mm-hmm.
Post-COVID, what has happened is that two things happened. World realized that basically they need to switch. The discussion has been going pre-COVID as well. To a cleaner environment. If I can point out that natural gas, when it burned, it releases 50% less CO2 than coal.
Okay.
And 20 to 30% less than oil.
Uh-huh.
So it's a cleaner fuel. And the carbon zero goal that is being set, it has to be transitioned. And gas is that transition bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So when world realized, they started flocking to it. That's the one part. So gas consumption at different places have increased.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, when you look at geopolitical side of it, so Russia was the primary gas supplier to Europe, most of the Western Europe as well as the Eastern Europe. And with the conflict, Europe decided to stop buying from gas from them.
Mm-hmm.
When this happened, so the different gas has to come from someone else's places. And you would notice that first choice for the European consumers was to source from the spot market. So they started buying from the spot market. Now, you're typically bidding versus the Asian buyers. And they outbid. And that led to skyrocketing of the gas prices.
Okay.
Simultaneously, oil has been rising up again.
Mm-hmm.
And since the long-term contracted gas prices are tied up, with the oil prices, though they rose it as well.
Uh-huh.
And finally, because APM gas's price determination is dependent on all four international gas indices,
mm-hmm.
so they rose it as well. So now what we have is that A, they have gas prices that are rising across all the sources, and which led to increase in their costs as well as the reduction in the margins.
Uh-huh.
and that affected the CGD sector.
So now if, let's say, an investor wants to invest in these CGD companies, what are some of the things that they should be keeping an eye out for, Nitin?
Right. So CGD sector, since raw material is the key driver, raw material cost is the key driver, so they have to understand that gas prices once decline, both LNG, because then once LNG declines or international gas prices decline, with a lag, eventually domestic prices should also decline. Secondly, as I mentioned initially, that India's gas production has been declining. And you would notice that in the recent quarters, the APM gas that was to be delivered by the ensured by the government to the CGD companies have this allocation has come down. So 2012's Supreme Court order said that 110% of their consumption over a previous period. Now they are getting somewhere between 90 to 92% of this demand. So there is a difference of say 8 to 10%, and this is being met by spot gas and short-term contracted gas. Mm-hmm. So until unless this gas prices come down, CGD companies will see their margins reduced to larger extent. There's another problem. So typically, when you look at these companies, some of these companies have been passing on the gas costs to their consumer easily. Previously, in India, your gas prices were say around $2 to $3 per MMBTU. International prices were $5 to $6 per MMBTU. When you compare it today, European and Asian gas is around $30 per MMBTU. So you see, it has gone almost 5x, 8x.
Mm-hmm.
And because of which, there is a lot of turmoil within this sector. Now, these gas companies continue to, passing on this cost. But eventually, what has happened is that, for example, for CNG, and now when you compare it with diesel, prices are pretty much at par. And that means that whatever benefit a consumer had, cost savings, to switching to CNG, is negligible. So that has been affecting the CNG volume as well now. So in nutshell, if investors need to look at the CGD companies, need to look at two factors. First one, that if international gas prices are coming down, what is the outlook? Secondly, even if you compare today, the domestic gas prices are still very cheap compared to the expensive LNG gas.
Mm-hmm.
That essentially means that companies who have access to this or who have large volumes coming from the domestic PNG as well as CNG, they are relatively better insulated versus the companies who have a larger volume going to the industry.
So, Nitin, tell us something about the comparative positions of Indraprastha Gas and Mahanagar Gas. What are some of the key strengths and weaknesses?
Right. So, to start with, I'll talk about how IGL and MGL are similar.
Mm-hmm.
See, both of these companies have more than 2/3 of their volume coming from domestic PNG and CNG segment. Historically, they have enjoyed good margins. Mahanagar Gas, because it's in the financial capital of India, have been able to, pass on bulk of their cost historically. So if you look at it, their margins are much stronger than any other CGD players. And it continues to remain so. Because Mumbai is a bigger market, they tend to have a larger volume and stable volume in this regard. When I talk about IGL has a similar characteristics. APM gas supply takes care of bulk of their volume. Industrial / commercial volume is much lower. Thirdly, the National Green Tribunal's decision to ensure that whatever industrial commercial unit that are there in Delhi, they basically use gas instead of other fossil fuels mm-hmm. for their own production purposes help them, because then it added to the volumes. So, but that's where the similarity ends. What has happened is that despite better margin, MGL has been very slow with regarding to getting more GAs, that is your geographic area. So the regulator, which is PNGRB, conduct the auctions for a particular city and they divide it areas into those geographic areas. And then every CGD player or company bid for it. Now, when you look at it in the recent 10th round and 11th round of the auctions, in the 10th round, 9th and 10th round, Mahanagar Gas did not bid for a GA.
Okay.
In 11th round, they bid for the GA, I think 2 to 3 GA, but they did not get it. So, fundamentally, it's a good company, strong financial, but the question is that they have basically 2 GA. They have Mumbai and Thane combined, and then they have Raigarh. So, beyond which, how the next set of growth would come. Secondly, there's another thing. So, there's something called open access, which mm-hmm. Basically when they sign the contract, they are supposed to have few years. Some contracts have 3 years exclusivity, some have 5 years. And because of various reasons, it extended in last few years. But now, the regulator talking about allowing the open access. What open access is that it allows competition to come into that particular geographic area. So if you know, for example, in Delhi, Indraprastha Gas was your de facto CNG and domestic gas or industry gas supplier.
Mm-hmm.
Now other player are also allowed. Previously they had this monopoly. So another player come, there will definitely be impact on the volume as well as the pricing. Thirdly, there is a requirement of certain percentage of volume to be given to the newer player who comes via open access. So that is kind of a dagger that is dangling on Mahanagar Gas. Now I move to the IGL side. So IGL have been adding up the GA in last few auctions. So in that sense, it is much more insulated compared to Mahanagar Gas, and then volume 15-20 or maybe more growth that might come from the new GAs.
Now, how many geographical areas is IGL present in?
So IGL, I think more than 5 to 6
okay.
areas IGL have it.
Okay.
In fact, recent rounds, they also won multiple, especially around Rajasthan. So I could give example, Ajmer, Pali, Raisamand, and some of the other areas in the north and the central India.
Okay.
So that has happened. Also, we must look at industry in general. So if you look at the recent, the 9th, 10th, 11th round of auction, so overall, more than 170 GAs were up for auctions. They were taken. And when you look at these GA, you would realize that newer players are coming up. So, for example, in these three rounds, Adani Total Gas came in very big. They won around 29 GAs. Then IOCL, then BPCL, Torrent Gas, Hindustan Petroleum Corporation, Gail Gas. So all of them won more than 10 new GAs. Now, there's certain requirement for this GA, which is a time-bound development of that particular geographic area. That would mean that they'll have to lay those pipelines for the domestic PNGs and as well as the industrial PNG, set up set number of CNG stations. And to ensure basically that that reach is also increased, right? So any company or CGD company that wins those particular GA, they do not solely focusing on the the most profitable part, but also ensure that it improves overall. And it also helps because once a domestic, typically if you look at domestic PNG consumption, household consumption are more or less stable, and maybe a slightly bit seasonal, but pretty much a good recurring revenue that comes. And what we have seen in the last few weeks is that even if gas costs are increased for domestic PNG, they would not stop using it. One example is if I talk about Mahanagar Gas in Mumbai. So domestic PNG bills have doubled in last, say, 6 to 7 months. But people will not stop using it. So that makes a lot of sense. And also, for the regulator government side, it helps them ensure that consumers are less worried because there is no gas cylinders that to be delivered. It's seamless. Payments are seamless. And revenue visibility is there for the company's perspective. So overall, the development of the sector, that is good. But when you look at any of the CGD companies, established CGD companies, especially the top three, that is Mahanagar Gas, Gujarat Gas, and Indraprastha Gas. So, because our companies are coming up, not only they will develop the new GAs, but they will also try to get into the established GAs where they can, via open access and, you know, move some volume at, because, you know, the prices are good. Margins are decent at the established GAs.
Okay, Nitin, now let's also talk about Gujarat Gas. Now, this company supplies largely to the commercial users, and this stock has underperformed more than IGL and MGL. Now, will this will Gujarat Gas also benefit disproportionately when gas prices begin to cool down?
Right, so Gujarat Gas traditionally had more than 70% volume coming from industrial and the commercial segment. It helped them well. Bulk of this revenue comes from the Morbi area, where bulk of your ceramic / tile producers are there. So when a couple of years ago, when the regulation passed, the Morbi area has to mandatorily switch to the cleaner fuel, that is gas. So that drove their volumes as well as their margins. As I previously mentioned, that industrial / commercial gas is supplied via contracted LNG or spot LNG or non-APM gas. Hence, because when the prices were low, it helped them and demand was brisk. But owing to multiple factors, both gas shortages as well as the geopolitical and international factors, gas prices have gone up. And then typically, the CGD companies, Gujarat Gas in this question, has been passing on all the costs. Now, beyond a certain point, this gas cost become unviable for the industrial consumers. So they kind of reduce the consumption and they move to other alternate fuel, that is the propane gas. And that has been eating away their volumes as well as the volume growth. And similarly, at the cost side, rising gas cost ate away the margin. And that is pretty much basically made the investment case bearish on the Gujarat Gas. Also, we have to understand that last year, Gujarat Gas was trading around 29 to 30 times of their forward multiple, which was actually higher than their historical multiple any in the entire history. So it was valuation was also not supportive, and also the fundamental shift has happened. Now what could happen from here? So bulk of it depend upon what happened to the to contracted / spot gas or non-APM gas. We already know that non-APM gas is more than, especially from the difficult field, is more than $12 per MMBTU. Similarly, spot gas and contracted gas, if you take in into account the regasification, transportation, everything, it's not cheaper than $14 to $15 per MMBTU. Mm-hmm. So there is limited upside for them in terms of the volume growth that is going to come from industrial. In fact, if the differential with the propane continues, So then shift with propane would more or less permanent for near to medium term. So this is a pretty much a challenge. As we note, around 20-25% the volume come from the priority sector through APM gas. Now, the allocation, the priority sector gas allocation is around 90-92-93%, depending upon which CGD player, but it's not 100%. Any reduction in this, the allocation would put further pressure on the player. Obviously, it will affect IGL and MGL disproportionately, but it also affects Gujarat gas. So, all of these factors created a limited scope for Gujarat gas. This quarter, they did well on the earning side, on the lower cost. But we also have to understand that nearly 50% of the volume wiped away because Morbi ceramic plants were closed for almost a month. And when these plants come back, Gujarat gas would be competing with cheaper propane. So they have to ensure that the pricing that they offer to these units are very competitive, which essentially means that current the margin, the surprise margin this quarter are unlikely to be sustained. So this overall puts Gujarat gas in a very tight spot, at least for near term.
Okay. Now, there's another stock that I wanted to discuss, Nitin, though this is not exactly a city gas distribution company, but is also part of the gas sector. That's the Petronet LNG. Now, what's the business model of Petronet LNG?
Right. So, just to back up it on it a bit, pretty much your the gas, natural gas, is come from the fossil fuel. It comes from under the ground, trapped between sedimentary rocks. So what gas producers do is that they use water, chemical, and sand, and with pressure, they crack those sedimentary rocks from which the gas comes up. Once the gas comes up, they store it in a nearby facilities for a period of time, and then pass it through inland via pipelines. And then through their whatever country it is, through their pipeline network, the gas flows happens everywhere. Now, one example is in a mid to late 2000s, the shale gas revolution in the US made it pretty much much better position for the domestic demand and as well as the export. So late, post, I think 2015-16, they started exporting it as well. When you export gas, there's a set process. So you have to have an export terminal. An export terminal is adjacent to a high capacity storage facility as well. Now, what they do with that export terminal is that they they chill this gas, say around cooling it down to minus 161 degrees, and then they ship it through specialized container ships or rather ships, LNG ships, to the countries which want it. So those countries, for example, if India importing it, so India will have import terminals. At import terminals, they will get it on their storages, and then they regasify through a different process. So these terminals, import terminal, has to be near to the coast. Similarly, they have to have a regasification plant, and then they have to have a large storage. What PNG does is they regasify the LNG, and then through the pipeline grid, pass it on to their customers. For this regasification, they charge a tariff. So currently they have two terminals. One is Dahej of 17.5 MMTA capacity, and another one is Kochi. Kochi is a quite newer one, which is around 5 MMTPA kind of a capacity. Combined together, this accounts for more than 50% of the this capacity, terminal capacity of India. and other new terminals are also coming up. So what it does is that they would basically have a contract with different consumers, with different customers, and then they regasify. If we talk about the regasification charges, I would say for Kochi, they are charging around 80-81 rupees per MMBTU. For Dahej, they are charging 57 per MMBTU. Dahej pretty much handles bulk of the volume, and Kochi's volume is still smaller. And then because even around that terminal, gas pipelines are still developing. Other than that, they have a 5% escalation clause for this tariff, which goes without any discussion, gets up everywhere. Finally, their contracts are take or pay, so customer has contracted them and they have sourced it as well. So customer will either lift it or they will pay whatever the price that they have in under the terms. Whenever they have excess gas, so they have been selling it to the open market, because spot market as well as the Indian domestic market, it's still lucrative. So that is pretty much the Petronet LNG's business model. They earn via basically regasification through a fixed tariff, which goes up by a fixed percentage, as well as the excess gas that they have under take-or-pay contract. They basically sell it to the open market to earn something extra.
So this stock too, Nitin, has been underperforming for a long time now. Obviously, with the prices remaining high, demand would have been hurt to some extent. But what are the things that could change for Petronet LNG?
Right. So basically, when we look at the Petronet LNG, its business is pretty much dependent upon the LNG import. As I previously said, India's decline in domestic gas production was mitigated or offset by LNG imports. And you know, when you look at it over longer period of time, from 30s to 40% of the total gas consumption met by LNG import, it has gone up as much as 55%. But with increase in gas cost, LNG consumption has been going down consistently. So, for example, in the month of September, if you look at it, the consumption LNG import basically stood at around 79 MMSCMD, which was lower than the pre-COVID levels. And why? Because the gas cost is not viable. Now, if I talk about who consumes this gas, primarily the consumption includes multiple sectors, but the largest consumer is fertilizer, accounting for somewhere around 30%, followed by the CGD sector, consumes around 20%. Power sector earlier used to consume around 22% of the gas consumption in India, but is now down to 15%. And then there's a refinery, petrochemical, and other areas. Now, for many of these players, it becomes unviable beyond, say, $7, $8 per MMBTU. So consumption has come down. And what is done is that it actually reduced the LNG imports in India. So it peaked somewhere around 99 MMSCMD as the LNG import in August 20, and then it comes down to 79. So because less LNG is coming, so less regasification business is coming to Petronet. When you look at the utilizations of both of the terminals, Dahej as well as Kochi. So when Dahej, prior to this whole super increase in the gas prices, Dahej's utilization rate were north of 100%, 105, 110% consistently. Now it's somewhere between 80 to 90%. Similarly, Kochi, which is newer terminal, it is supposed to be close to 35 to 40% utilization rate by now, but still somewhere close to 20% now. So lesser volume is coming, and that is has subdued the stock because there isn't revenue or earning growth opportunity, and it's not clear how soon it would change.
So, Nitin, what is the long-term outlook for gas consumption in the country, and thereby also the stocks that we just discussed about IGL, MGL, Gujarat Gas, and Petronet LNG?
Yeah, so basically, as world moves toward the net zero goals, they would have to reduce the pollution, for which they need a reliable energy source, which if not completely clean, at least less polluting. And by the time the technology is there and fully deployed for clean sources. So this bridge, different people put it differently, some say 10, some say 20, some say 25 years, this bridge has to be met by a supply which is consistent and abundantly available. That is a natural gas. India also realizing the same, has an ambitious target of increasing the gas consumption. Hence, we have seen a lot of new geographic areas are coming up. So today, India's natural gas consumption in the overall energy source consumption is around 6-6.5%. Now, Indian government wanted to increase it to 15%, the share to 15% or say 1/6 by 2030, which essentially means that India's gas consumption is going to rise by a CAGR of 12% per year for the next, say, 8 years, 10 years, to reach around 550 MMSCMD. From 170-180 MMSCMD today. So almost tripling in the next 10 years. So that is where the India's gas consumption trajectory stands. Even internationally, gas consumption is rising. Europe always has been stable on the gas consumption side. But when you look at the Asian and LATAM, a lot of countries would be opting for gas as a lesser polluting and stable and reliable energy source. Coming back to the company under our coverage, so for MGL and Indraprastha Gas, Mahanagar Gas and Indraprastha Gas, our analysis indicate that there is still an upside from the current levels.
Despite the fact that competition is increasing for these companies.
Yes. For the medium term, yes. Because they would still, even in the open access, things are not sealed at this moment. There are discussions going on because a lot of these established players are continuously asking for an extension because they made a lot of capex over the years to develop that particular GA. So they still want to recover it and whatever margin goal that they had. So MGL and IGL, because they established player and then the shift toward the cleaner fuel and the multiple themes that are there. So valuation-wise, they appear attractive. When I look at historically, say pre-COVID levels, so MGL is still at some discount to that level, if I put it around 10-15% discount PE-wise, FY24 PE. So there's some discount with MGL. Similarly, IGL is also a tiny bit discount and also reflect upside from current levels. When it come back to Gujarat Gas is in tighter spot. Valuation-wise, it at par with the whatever they had previous to COVID. I think closer to 22 times. Today's trading around 22 times of, forward PE. But they have multiple factors. They don't have a shield of, priority sector volumes, relatively cheaper priority sector volumes. And the industrial and commercial volume that are seeing stiff competition from the alternate fuel. So, Gujarat Gas near term appear unattractive. Stock is corrected 32%. We downgraded it much ahead of the street back in August 21. And since then, stock has declined more than 30%. And here onwards, there are more factors for it to correct or at least remain sideways than to go up. Finally, on the Petronet LNG, Petronet LNG is much, much cheaper compared to the historical valuations. I think it's trading around 9 to 10 times of the forward PE. Whereas when you look at historically, it used to trade around 14 to 15 times. But for the fact that its business is entirely dependent upon LNG import and its growth, which seems to be stuck because of the gas prices, because consumption is not going to move till the imported gas cost is high. Also, what doesn't help is that rupee also devalued, so that increase the burden or the cost to import. I think a factor would play a much better role is that with the gas prices, international gas prices decline is maybe the end of Russia-Ukraine war. That could immediately be a trigger for a softening of the gas prices. And risk here onwards would be if the December and January weather, which are basically the coldest month historically for the European market. So they remain as cold as historically. So far it's been milder, but if they remain as cold or more colder, the gas consumption would rise. And that would again move the international LNG prices up from here on.
Well, some pretty good insights out there, Nitin, and I'm sure our listeners would have also have quite a few takeaways from this conversation. Once again, Nitin, thank you for sharing those insights with us.
Thanks a lot.